Well, our scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 21 to 28, which can be found on page 17 of the New Testament in the Pew Bibles. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, if you've been on a college campus recently, or you've been on a college visit, or you have one planned, or maybe you are familiar with the plight of the average college student these days, you'll know that there's something that is not quite new, but something that is a newer feature than of past vintage, and that is there's a major presence of mental health awareness on college campuses. And in a decided effort by college administration to make sure that mental health services are available for college students. I heard a speaker recently remark that that was the thing that struck them the most when they were taking their son on a college visit. Of all the things that stood out to them, there was both an appreciation of that, but also a question as to why this would be there in such strong ways. This particular person had a good lens on this. They were a youth ministry professor. But the reality is that they brought attention to something that I think all of us have either seen or heard or been a part of, is that there's this growing unhealth amongst college students. There's a growing issue around anxiety and around the pressures that college students are facing, and it isn't just college students, because where do college students come from? Well, it's not like a trick question, they're parents, you know, but the other side of it is they come from being high school students. They're adolescents that grow up just a little bit, and they become high school students. And these days, college students and high school students, and really all of us, are facing anxiety and facing pressures in our lives today that are some new and some stronger, and some that are very familiar. But the reality is that we're facing these demons in our lives in a way that is at a higher rate than ever before. I don't know if you knew this, but right around 20% of adults struggle with some kind of anxiety issue, an anxiety disorder. There's an excessive fear or excessive worrying that keeps them from being able to engage in their normal lives. So that's 1 in 5 people are struggling with a level of fear or worry that keeps them from having a normal life. Now that's the general population, but for teenagers, for adolescents, it's even higher. Right around 30% of adolescents struggle with an anxiety disorder that keeps them from functioning in the way they would want to function. You know, when you break that down a little bit further, it's 38% of adolescent females, 13 to 19. This group of people in particular are struggling with anxiety disorders and anxiety issues in a very strong way. And what we know what is true about teenagers is teenagers just typically just say it like it is. Teenagers typically are a lens through which we can look and see something that's true about all of us, and that is that anxiety is an issue that is something that is pressing on many people today. Now, the range of what anxiety can be for all of us, and it's kind of this demon that's inside of many of us, is there's people that have an anxiety disorder on the one end of the spectrum, and then people that have moments of anxiety that keep them from where they want to be. And then there are some people that are just equipped to handle life at the clip that they're living, and they do better than others. And whether you find yourself on the spectrum where you have an issue that you might need help with, or whether you find yourself on the other side where you're living in a way that is what you want to live out, all of us know that this can creep up in our lives. And all of us also know that this isn't how God wants it to be. God doesn't want the fears and the worries of this life to keep us from having the life God wants for us. God doesn't want us to have the fears and anxieties and the worries of our lives keep us from pursuing the kind of life that God wants for us, both for us individually, but also the kind of life that God wants us to help others have. It isn't just about us being the best we can be. It's about us being the best we can be so that we can help others experience God's dream for them. There's a sense in which we want to be good for ourselves and good in and of ourselves, that God wants us just to be healthy. But it's also true that God wants us to be healthy so we can be there for other people. And when we're there for other people, the world gets a little better. And as the world gets a little better by better, God's dream for this world, God's hope for this world, the way in which God wants love to be experienced by all people becomes more and more true. Now, we know this to be true about what God wants for us because we know that God wants us to be healthy, God wants us to be faithful, and we get plenty of examples of this in the scriptures where there are stories upon stories of the ways in which God sets right the way in which the world isn't how God wanted it to be. And we get to this moment in the Gospel of Matthew where we find ourselves confronted with one such story. We get ourselves confronted with a messenger who has a message from God and is sharing it through the pages of Scripture and through the story that's being told in the Gospel of Matthew. This messenger, we don't know her name. She's referred to simply as the Canaanite woman. And this is often the case with many of the women in Scriptures, is that they don't get a name. Some do, and we know them, but some don't, and we wonder who they are. And they show up on the pages of Scripture and almost instantly flitter away into the pages of history. Now, this woman in particular is a Canaanite, which means she is on the outside looking in of the religious community that was in that area where Jesus would have been working. Now, if you've heard this passage before and you've wondered yourself, or as you heard it for the first time today, this is an interesting and confusing story all at once. You're in good company. If you noticed that Jesus isn't exactly nice, anybody else notice that? That Jesus isn't nice in this passage? I have good news for you. If you notice that this woman seems to be characterized in a way that is uncharitable towards her, there's something about the way this story came together that helps unpack what is at stake here. And the reality is that when you peel back the layers of this story, the people that are much smarter than I am, the biblical scholars that commentate on these things, if you want to know where I get some of this stuff, I've just got a stack of books in my office. You can come and read them and then get up here. I'll sit there and we can change notes later. But one of the things they noted is that this is really outside the character of Jesus. That the way that Jesus interacts with this woman is very different than how Jesus seems to interact with all other people. The disciples, on the other hand, pretty dang consistent. They don't get it, and they show it full well. Jesus, ignore her. She's shouting at us. I don't know what they did to deserve the bad rap they get, but apparently they keep on getting it for a good reason. But what happens in this story is that there is a sense in which this story in Matthew might have been added later or might have been a compilation of things. And so if you're ever wondering, who is this Jesus versus the Jesus we see elsewhere, this Jesus, this version, probably isn't driving after how Jesus really acted. This version of Jesus tells us something about what God wants for the world, but not about how Jesus acted, because it is inconsistent. If you look at the character of Jesus throughout all of the Gospels, you'll find someone who is loving and compassionate, someone who can be stern but is always kind. And this particular story seems to drive at something at a higher level, which is that God does want healing to be brought about, that God doesn't want people to be suffering from the demons that are facing them, and God didn't want anybody, no matter who they were and where they were in the journey, to be left outside of God's grace. Now, for whatever reason, we find it in the Scriptures, and so it being in the Gospel of Matthew gives us an opportunity to look at what is being taught and what is being thought about behind this story. And the beautiful thing about what we find in this story is this wrestling with God, this wrestling with God that this woman represents. She, this Canaanite woman, has a message to be shared with all of us that God doesn't want us to be captured by our demons. God doesn't want us to be captive to the fears and the worries, or perhaps the actual demons, if that's something that strikes a resonance with you. These are the things that God does not want us to struggle with. God did not want that woman to have this struggle, and God does not want us to have the struggles. And God sent Jesus to show us this. God sent Jesus to proclaim freedom to the captives. God sent Jesus to show us that God did not want any one of us to be captured by worry, by fear, captured by anxiety, captured by any of these things. God sent Jesus to show us this. God sent Jesus to set the record straight, to put the world on the track that it needed to be on. And then God sends us to continue that work. That's one of the things that I can take away from this particular way this story comes together, is that there's this wrestling with the woman has with God. There's a persistence that is rewarded, and there's something to be said about our continued faithfulness in our pursuit of God. We know that God pursues us, but we are also called to pursue God. We also see in the midst of this that the disciples and whoever put Matthew together, Matthew himself or whoever it might be, was struggling with how do you make sense of these things? How do you put together and reconcile the fact that Jesus came and spent most of his ministry with the Jewish people, but yet then also in a post-Easter story, they find themselves experiencing that God's grace has gone to all people? And you see right here in the pages of Scripture that they didn't have it all figured out. And that should be comfort to us. It's comfort to me that I don't have to have it all figured out. But what it does share and what it does show me, and I hope shows all of us, is the truth that God does not want us to be captive to our demons. That God wants us to hear the message, that God wants us to have a life full of faithfulness. God wants us to have a life full of love. And God wants us to be a part of that happening for other people. Now, I know that some of you struggle with anxiety. I know that some of you know somebody who struggles with anxiety. I know for some of you that getting up this morning, coming to church was the most brave thing you could do, because sometimes groups of people scare us. And whatever we find ourselves in this journey, we need to remember that God sent Jesus to show us what life could look like. And God continues to send us to help people experience that freedom. Now, real practically, how can we make this happen for other people? How can we be the people that are there for one another in our moments of fear, our moments of worry? How can we be the people that be the people, the messengers that God wants for us? Well, I just want to give you just a few practical ideas of how to do that. And the first of which is just to follow the example that God gives to us. Just to remember for ourselves that we have a message of healing and a message of hope. That we can be with and for people in a way that just reminds them that this isn't how God wants it to be. It might not be that God is going to fix things for them quite as readily as God fixed things for people in the Scriptures, but God is in the ministry, in the mission of healing and hope. And to remind them that that's the true character of God is something that can be radically helpful to people in their times of struggle. Because especially so in our times of struggle, right? We can find ourselves constructing or thinking of God in a way that is unhelpful or unfaithful, and perhaps we can build up a sense of God's condemnation or God not loving us anymore because we have let these stories build up in our heads that aren't true about who God is. But as God's messengers, we can share with people the real story of hope and healing, the one that the woman experienced that day, and the one that we can experience today. So we can remember that that's the message we carry. Another message that we can carry is maybe we're going to be the one, maybe you're going to be the one that says to somebody, you know, I noticed that you're really struggling with worry. I noticed that you're really struggling with fear. And it seems to be holding you back. Have you ever thought about seeing someone professionally? Now, this is something that has become easier to say for some people these days than it's been in the past. I know mental health issues has felt like a taboo topic in some ways in parts of our lives. But now more than ever, isn't it more important that we start to bring light to this for people? One of the things that has been interesting in our journey with getting more and more comfortable with this is one of those fears we had about just simply talking about it was that we put the idea of mental health issues into their heads. Specifically around the topic of taking one's life, around suicide. If you just said that word, people would shut down immediately. They'd get afraid because if you say it, maybe they'll start thinking about it. But what's true about that problem, and what's true about most mental health problems, is that they're already thinking about it. They're already struggling with it. Maybe they don't know what to do with it. Maybe they need a message of hope and healing. But maybe they also need somebody to say, maybe you need some help. You're not going to plant the idea in their head of the issue they're struggling with, but you might be the one who plants it in their head that they can get help. And if all you've done is to remind that there's a message of hope and healing, a God of hope and healing who loves them, and says that there's a way in which God today is working through mental health professionals, through psychologists and counselors and psychiatrists to help them find their way forward, you have helped them face their demons. You have helped them find freedom. God can heal in a myriad of ways. God can heal miraculously if God wanted to. But we also know that God heals through human ingenuity and through human ability. And in this case, one of the ways we can help people is asking them, do you need professional help? And if all those things feel a little overwhelming to you, I'm going to leave you with one last thing. And that is simply invite them to church. You're like, whoa, that is super simple. Maybe you're going to be the messenger that says, come to church. Come be a part of this community. Come make friends who are going to come alongside you. Be a part of a group of people who want you to hear the message of hope and healing. Be a part of a group of people who aren't afraid to talk about mental health issues. Be a part of a group of people who want to live out a life of encouragement with and for one another so they can come to know the freedom that God wants for them. You might be the first person that has ever invited them to church. You're going to be the next person that has invited them into church. But what you're inviting them to do is not just come on Sunday mornings, right? You're inviting them into community. You're inviting them into encouragement. You're inviting them into support. You're inviting them into a journey where they know they're not alone, and they know that they can be pursued by a God who wants them to be whole, by a God who doesn't want us to be captive by our fears, by our worries. So these are some of the ways that I think we can look to the example of Scripture to help us find our way forward as we deal with the demons in our lives. God sent a divine messenger once to proclaim to us this message of hope. God then continued to send messengers along the way who would remind us of this. There was a Canaanite woman or someone of that vintage who heard the words of Jesus, "Your faith is great. Go as you wished. Healing for your daughter." But God continues to send human messengers now. God sends you. God sends me. God sends all of us to remind people that they are loved by God who wants them to be healed. Amen.